Hello, it's Tuesday, November 22nd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. As everybody out there knows, this is the 42nd anniversary of the John F. Kennedy assassination. And in commemoration of that event, we're not only running an article by Morgan Reynolds on the Wing TV homepage, but we also have him on today as our special guest.
We should also say it's the 42nd anniversary of the JFK assassination cover-up.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure everybody out there is aware of Morgan Reynolds, but very briefly, he is Professor Emeritus at Texas A&M. He is a former director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis, and he was also the chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor during George Bush's first term in the years 2001 and 2002, and he made quite a few ground waves earlier this year with the release of an article about 9/11 and the World Trade Center controlled demolition.
And I think he's the only former Bush administration member that has come out and spoken truthfully about the case for controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers, and for that he has our undying respect.
Right. And last but not least, what we like most about Morgan Reynolds is there's a lot of people in this alternative media patriot movement that do a lot of talking. But I'll tell you what, if Lisa and I had our backs up against the wall, one of the people we'd most want in our corner is Morgan Reynolds, because this guy doesn't back down and he's not afraid of taking some heat. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Morgan Reynolds to Wing Radio. How you doing, Morgan?
Hey, very well, Lisa and Victor.
Well, it's great to be here, and I want to first touch upon 9/11 before we jump into this, the JFK material. And we brought up something yesterday that with the release of your report, the information from Kevin Ryan, David Ray Griffin, and most recently Stephen E. Jones, I want to ask you, Morgan, there's these Democrats, liberals, progressives, whatever they call themselves these days, supposedly they hate George Bush, they want to get him out of office. Where are they?
That's like a lot of people who they say they're anti-war, but all roads lead to 9/11.
Yep.
They're overlooking the umbrella event that allows the global domination project to proceed.
Over the latter half of the 20th century, Morgan, the government and the mainstream media has made very creative use of Fall Guys, patsies, target groups. We can look to people like Oswald, McVeigh, Al-Qaeda, and Osama bin Laden as personifications of the enemy or as mastermind terrorists. And I think this has been to focus American anger and patriotic fervor. So in light of the fact that they personify the enemy in this way, do you see Osama and people like Oswald as fulfilling a very useful role and not as the cause of terrorism per se, but more as icons of terrorism?
Oh, yeah. For example, they aren't going to catch OBL or kill him until they can build up another bogeyman like Zarqawi, who may or may not exist. And, you know, one of the things that's very obvious about the Fall Guys or the patsies, the diversions, are their incompetence. You know, you had these, let's believe there were 19 such people running around the country. Well, they were tripping wires out in the field all the time. And headquarters would spike all this just to let them run free. No visible means of support, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Let's follow the money. Or Lee Harvey Oswald, just before he was killed, of course, said, "I'm a patsy."
Yeah.
A little bolt of truth in the drama there before he was cut down. And, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald couldn't even drive a car.
Yeah.
Right, so I guess pulling off the JFK assassination was, what, his one brilliant moment in his life?
Yeah, I think it's a little outside his potential. You know, it's just, he solo did this, you know, ridiculous.
And it's like Hani Hanjour, who was supposed to have flown Flight 77 into the Pentagon, yet all his flight instructors called him dumb and dumber because they said he didn't even have the coordinated skills to drive an automobile. So
right.
It's again another example.
Fly a lick.
Yeah. Now, Morgan, when I was growing up, and maybe this shows my naivety, but I've always been taught that the truth is the most important thing in the world, that America represents truth and so forth. But when we see the JFK assassination, when we see Professor Jones' report and your report, it seems like Nobody wants the truth to get out, at least in the government, the mainstream media, academia, so forth. Why doesn't truth matter anymore to all of these individuals?
Well, in this takes us right to the media betrayal, the treasonous behavior there. I think about the mighty Wurlitzer, as the CIA guy Gardner called it, where they had every one of the mainstream media locked up in their hip pocket, right? When push came to shove, the truth gets buried. You get diversions, you know, you put on the wrong trail, misinformation. CBS, New York Times, et cetera, Copley News Service, you name it. I was looking at the list in this bland CIA encyclopedia I have on my shelf.
Okay, after Tucker Carlson interviewed Professor Jones, he came out on his blog, I believe, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, if evidence surfaces that shows the government lied about or had any role or involvement in the events of 9/11, we'll be on it immediately, I promise. And so we contacted him and have yet to hear back from him, but we met his challenge. What do you make of him saying something like that on TV or in a blog?
And also, how hot was this? How much hot water did they get in to have Professor Jones on a mainstream venue like this?
Well, in regard to Lisa's question, one word pops into mind: liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how much trouble they're in, I don't know. I mean, most of us initially are happy that they allow this leakage in the vast, thick wall they have between 9/11 truth and the media erects, and they're a little within the 40-yard line new coverage. And but then, of course, you get to me, it's all good, really, that that Tucker Carlson and his ilk have revealed themselves as having no content to refute the truth. And instead, it's just abusive. And any viewer who sees this, there are many, most Americans are fair-minded, and when they see this, that raises some questions, some red flags. Hey, wait a minute. So I see this net outcome as being very good, and a fascist like Carlson just reveals what this thing is all about.
Oh, you're so right. Now, the article that you wrote is called Death in Dallas. It's on the Wing TV homepage. And you go through the motives, the means, the cover-up, and your conclusions, the opportunity. And right before we went live on this show, or we turned the mic on, you were saying that when this happened in November of 1963, you were 20 years old, and you said everybody knows where they were of age when this happens. And I said, except for Richard Nixon and George Bush. So what is their role? I don't know if it would be direct or peripheral. What role did they play in this, and why can't they remember where they were at?
Well, Nixon was there the night before. That's what he lied initially, but it's well established. He was at this party put on by Clint Murchison, the Texas Independent Oilman, along with another, you know, a great group of suspects, including LBJ and J. Edgar Hoover. And then one of the photos in Dealey Plaza, from a distance, but it looks like it's 99% clear, it's George Herbert Walker Bush. And, of course, we know Bush was a CIA, skull and bones, he's Eastern Establishment. It's quite possible that George Herbert Walker Bush, that is him in the Dealey Plaza photo. And the fact that he lied later, couldn't remember where he was on November 22nd. It makes it very likely, doesn't it, that he was at least a peripheral person. And remember, Bush was a suck-up, a protege. I'd do anything for Dick Nixon.
Yeah.
The American people have had a love affair with John F. Kennedy or his persona. He's been called Lancelot, but people and groups of power over the decades have not been in love with him. He had many enemies, not just this Oswald patsy, correct? So my question to you is, LBJ made a comment on the morning of the assassination to his mistress, Madeline Brown. and you put this in your article, where he said, those damned Kennedys will not be poking fun at me after today. No follow-up investigation on LBJ's role in the assassination?
Right. Yeah, you know, one of the reasons he appointed the Warren Commission right away was to preempt Congress or the Attorney General, the State Attorney General in Texas, Wagner Carr, from having an independent investigation. Well, I'll take care of it. So that's why he was, his hand was forced, and then he handpicked, of course, every appointee, every one of them rotten. Alan W. Dulles comes first to mind because he was fired by a JFK after the Bay of Pigs fiasco, et cetera, and hated the very guts of JFK. So this whole thing is just outrageous. And one thing I note that in a way we're coming from further down 9/11 than was necessary for the JFK thing, because right after JFK's assassination, a slim majority in public opinion polls doubted the lone assassin theory.
Right.
You had a pretty strong public base to build from in the research.
Yeah. Now, in your article, Morgan, you go through all of the individuals that had a motive to knock off Kennedy. Of course, there's a military-industrial complex, the CIA, organized crime, Wall Street, the oil men, even the Federal Reserve. But then you mention one other element that very few people ever touch upon, and that is the Israeli government and the Mossad. And what very few people know, and what Michael Collins Piper brought out in his book Final Judgment, was that Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion, the Israeli president, were at loggerheads right before the Kennedy assassination, all because of Israel's desire to get nuclear weapons at Dimona. So talk about that element a little bit.
Yes. JFK, if you listen to his speeches, was very adamant about reducing the risk of nuclear confrontation, trying to ban war and weaponry, and his opposition to Israel's acquiring nuclear weapons was very strong, just as strong as Bush's nominal opposition to Iraq having nuclear weapons. And he got into a real head-butting contest with David Ben-Gurion. It was private at the time, so it didn't show up on most people's radar screen.
Uh-huh.
But now, of course, it's come out in a variety of ways, and as I understand it, these U.S. papers are these documents are still top secret. But in any event, it's well established, and Ben-Gurion, of course, was the only prime minister of Israel, of the new state of Israel, up to that point.
That's
and
right.
He put it in the most extreme terms, as the Likud elite often does. Anything, you know, we don't get our way, it threatens the very survival of Israel. So it set up a very powerful motive. And of course, after JFK's passing, they got everything they wanted, and it unbalanced the Middle East to a nominal balance of power. And that's why I mentioned the by the time Israel struck at the nuclear facility at Osirak in Iraq, the Air Force commander, they got all the crack pilots ready to launch this mission in 1981, and he said, you are going on a mission that on which the very survival of Israel depends, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, there's that same word again.
Right.
The very existence, the very survival.
It's very interesting when you look at both scenarios, 9/11 and the JFK assassination, you see that in both of them there's little evidence, if any, to affirm the government's official story. And there's a lot of similarities as far as the evidence goes, correct?
Yes.
Tampering, destruction, and so on?
Right, yeah. I review some of this about the impossibility of Lee Harvey Oswald actually executing this assassination. And it's very much the same with respect to the official 9/11 story.
And we had the same kind of whitewash investigative committee investigating, supposedly, the government investigating itself after both.
Right. very strong parallel. And we have the destruction of evidence and the fabrication of evidence. And now, we haven't had quite the wave of murders we've had. With every investigation on JFK, there are a good 36 people, including participants like Johnny Rosselli, Sam Giancana, etc., as well as innocent witnesses.
Yeah. And it's funny because this morning I was listening to a local talk show, and they brought on a woman who wrote a book about the Kennedy assassination, and she brought up how it's been proven now that the CIA has not only infiltrated the mainstream media, but controls it to a certain extent. So I called in as soon as she was over and said, well, if we can accept a conspiracy about the Kennedy assassination, why can't we about 9/11? Well, we talked a little bit and they hung up on me. Then someone called in afterwards and said, oh, there's the black helicopter conspiracy crowd. And then he went on to say how he actually believes the Warren report. Are there actually still people out there, Morgan, that believe this?
Apparently, you've got at least one who says he does. It's absolutely ludicrous. But there are. I can remember Ari Fleischer at one point during a press conference in Bush 1, must have been, referring to the grassy knoll theorist. Anybody who is outside the official government dogma, of course, is invited to leave the country by one Tucker Carlson.
Exactly.
Anybody who doesn't stay within the 40-yard line, right, as I say, I mean, is considered. But where are you going to find the truth? I mean, both of you and me, we think we're playing inside the 10-yard line, and most people, for various reasons, belief in American exceptionalism, denial, blah, 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 can't go there. They know it would mean a constitutional crisis.
Morgan, we've talked a lot about the role of government and mainstream media in the cover-up. What is the role of historians? Because they legitimize these lies and allow things like the JFK assassination to go 42 years, and still the cover-up is ongoing.
Yeah, they're called court intellectuals, right? You know, the whole system is an establishmentarianism. That's true in my field, economics, as well, right? If you want to be Ben Bernanke or Alan Greenspan, you play the game, and, these people are smart. They're sellouts.
So we need to hammer the historians.
Of course, there are very good historians, and the researchers on the JFK assassination have proven it up back and forth every which way that it was a multiple gunman inside job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, before we keep going, if somebody wants to read your articles, how do they find them?
Well, I've had a good dozen of them on the LouRockwell.com website. Or if you just Google Morgan Reynolds, you'd probably find a lot.
Yeah, and we strongly urge everyone
to
do so. Now, Morgan, another key point that you bring up where you quote Fletcher Prouty. And he says that the key to any kind of assassination is who has the power to call off or to reduce the security procedures around the president or the target. And that day, they were completely lax, if not non-existent, weren't they?
Right. That's key to recognizing an ambush. And to me, the number one fact is, contrary to all their rules, you don't make a 120-degree turn where you're slowed down to 5 miles an hour, single digit. So that presents way too much of an opportunity. And as Lisa points out, this is another parallel now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a stand down by the Secret Service.
Right.
There's no shield in terms of motorcycle cops alongside. There's no Secret Service agents along standing on running boards. And then, of course, it took them, a half hour to get into action once the shots rang out. And there may have been as many as 10 because of silencers. The whole thing, and these guys, of course, partied hard the night before.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many facts about the Secret Service that couldn't have been fixed by some kind of outside Cubans or Russians or...
Also,
alleged rednecks, or, you know.
You point pointed out, too, that the press car was conveniently way back in the motorcade. Normally, it was within two car lengths of the presidential limo. So they never did get a really good immediate shot for the historical record.
Rather than destroying evidence or altering it, it's much easier to not have any.
Right. I have one more question for you. You prefaced your article with a quote by John McCloy, who was a member of the Warren Commission, at the first meeting, where he said, "It's of paramount importance to show the world that America is not a banana republic, where a government can be changed by conspiracy." So my question is it really that we have to worry about the government being changed by conspiracy? Actually, the conspiracy has changed the country itself, hasn't it?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. There are...
they've been operating this way for decades.
Yes. What the JFK assassination is an important marker in our history. And remember, JFK, despite his inherited wealth, et cetera, was an outsider to the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was going to exercise the powers of the presidency in
God
ways
forbid.
That, if you will, the permanent secret establishment resented. So they took him out. And they take out anybody who has this kind of charisma. It just goes way beyond what the inner sanctum. I don't care if it's John Lennon or Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
Jr. or Robert Kennedy. Or John Kennedy, these people have it. They have it.
Yeah.
They can go above these people, and so guess what? If they don't behave, they're going to get taken out.
Well, let me follow up on that then. It's the morning of November 22nd, 1963. John Kennedy flies in to Dallas, Texas, considering the enemies that he had made. What do you think was going through his mind that morning? Did he have an idea that within a few hours he wasn't going to be living any longer?
Well, there were a lot of warnings that he was going to be hit in Miami, Chicago, or on his Texas swing, Dallas being the most obvious risk.
Uh-huh.
So, and there was the big full-page ad that day about how JFK, Tommy Stooge, and
uh-huh.
on and on. Yes, he would have had an inkling. He was warned to cancel this trip by his own group and many others. So,
let me ask you this, Morgan. We've had the feeling all along that Jackie was involved in the cover-up. What do you think?
Yes, but I don't hold her to ill motive. You know, part of it is, well, he was JFK, of course, was a world-class philanderer, and she knew it, and she is, to me, it strikes me as a very private person. She didn't want this scandal to go any further. It's kind of an understandable. I don't claim, maybe you do, but I don't claim she's part of this assassination.
Well, what we think is this, that the same people who were supposed to be protecting JFK when he got killed were also protecting her children. So, what was she going to say?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's the whole thing about trying to make this go away, and it's clear she didn't want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah,
right.
nor did the rest of the family. Well, we urge everyone out there, put Morgan Reynolds' name into Google, read everything that he's written so far, and we just can't say enough about what we think of Morgan Reynolds, his courage to come out and speak out. And like we said, this guy is a man. He's someone that's standing up. And
we just want to thank you for all you're doing
exactly.
to expose the truth, Morgan.
Well, right. It's amazing that this is now exceptional, isn't it?
I know. And to close the show out today, we went and saw the Johnny Cash movie last night, so we're going to play a very obscure song by Johnny Cash. So we'd just like to thank once again Morgan Reynolds, and we're certainly going to have you on the show again. And if you have any more articles, send them our way because the door is always open.
Okay.
Thanks,
care,
Morgan.
Bye.
And we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.